Lecture 11, Final Projects, Closing Fears.
In our last lecture, we saw Jefferson construct a rich and vital literary legacy to both his political career and his intellectual life. In this lecture, we're going to look at Jefferson grappling with a different sort of legacy, a legacy of problems which had faced him throughout his career and which he still had to grapple with in his final retiring years. Specifically, we're going to look at three things. First, his private legacy, the legacy of his private life, of his problems of debt, running his plantation. But then we're going to look at certain political legacies. Two, first, the issue of slavery, that great unresolved problem that dogged Jefferson throughout his life. And secondly, education, one of Jefferson's great projects, the desire to educate as broadly the Republic as he could. At the personal level, Jefferson's attempt to come to terms with his legacy meant trying to solve his perennial problem of indebtedness. And at this level, Jefferson clearly failed. At his retirement, the total value of his assets were somewhere at the order of $200,000. And his income from all of his farms and various other endeavors brought in about $7,500 a year. But he'd inherited debts from his presidency alone of $12,000, plus old debts, which total up to about $25,000. Add to this the fact that Jefferson always lived far beyond his means. And we'll see why in the next lecture when we look at the magnificent house he built at Monticello. But he also always had the finest wine, the finest musical instruments, and the most expensive mechanical devices. Jefferson never blamed his problem on his expenses. It was always soil erosion or bad harvests or something or other besides his own actions. But it had, in fact, been bad investments and a failed debt consolidation, plus the Panic of 1819 that ultimately destroyed him financially. 7 years after that, he wrote to James Monroe, near death, "You will have seen in the newspapers some proceedings in the legislature which have cost me much mortification. My own debts had become considerable." And what he's referring to, by the way, is the state of Virginia is thinking of having a lottery to help pay off Jefferson's debts. "My own debts had become considerable, but not beyond the effect of some lopping of property, which would have been little felt when our friend Nicholas gave me the coup de grace. Still, sales at a fair price would leave me competently provided, had crops and prices for several years been such as to maintain a steady competition of substantial bidders at market, all would have been safe. But the calamitous fluctuations of value in our paper medium have kept agriculture in a state of abject depression, which has peopled the western states by silently breaking up those on the Atlantic and glutted the land market while it drew off its bidders." So in fact, it's Jefferson's own project of westward migration that is undermining his own possibility of getting out of debt, because as people move west, his own lands are becoming less and less desirable. And unfortunately, Jefferson will die deeply in debt. And the lottery will help some, but many of his slaves will have to be sold. On his plantation, dealing with his legacy meant structuring his experience as a master in such a way as to avoid the degradations of slavery, to avoid exposure to its brutalities. And Jefferson never personally disciplined his slaves. And in fact, seems to have disapproved of whipping. He preferred the use of the threat of sale as a deterrent rather than flogging. Now that's significant because it suggests on the one part Jefferson's aversion to the obvious brutality of an institution that he deplores. But on the other hand, it may seem to some to be somewhat self-absorbed. Certainly, I think it was quite likely that the average slave would prefer to be flogged than sold away, because he's more likely going to be sold to the Deep South, working in the backbreaking conditions of the cotton fields. And any sale means a separation from loved ones, from family, from children, from wives and fathers and mothers. Now, Jefferson rarely supervised the slaves in his field. In fact, Madison Hemings, his presumed son, would later claim that unlike Washington, Jefferson rarely ever went out into the fields. He preferred to work in his nail factory, which was actually a pretty useful endeavor. It earned him about $1,000 in a good year. But the key to it is by working in the nail factory or supervising it, he's able to perceive his relationship to his slaves as something other than brutal exploitation. He's able to fantasize that in some way he's got a factory here and these are his employees.